We interrupt our regularly scheduled program for this special presentation of Inter Miami Soccer on ESPN 106.3. The pink smoke is in the air. That means legendary goals.
Oh, it's a cannon shot. Go ahead and give him the goal of the week.
Heroic saves.
Outstanding point blank save. You are denied.
Inter Miami Soccer is on ESPN 106.3.
Goal de Messi.
This is Pink Smoke. Brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
That time of the week, folks. Almost time for some Inter Miami Soccer. Welcome on into Pink Smoke, where we talk everything Inter Miami, everything Lionel Messi, and everything world football. It's been a long international break. You know, I listen, I love my club team. I love my Inter Miami. And as you guys know, listen to the program, diehard Manchester United fan. I'm ready for it to come back. Dan, why do I feel like, especially with Inter Miami, I feel like we haven't played a game in a month.
Yeah, not only have we not played a game, but the last game we played left us a sour taste in our mouth. So absolutely, man, it's good to be back. We're just a few days away from the next game and the next opportunity to get back on track.
That's Damian Perez. I'm Mike Rizzo. We got you until 7 o'clock on Pink Smoke. Now, there weren't a lot of games for Inter Miami with recently, to Damian's point. But it is time to go through a little Messi mania presented by our good friends at PNC, where we go through every big storyline with the Herons and obviously with the great one, Lionel Messi.
It's time for a little Messi mania on Pink Smoke, presented by PNC Bank. The latest match results, highlights, and everything Messi starts now. Brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Learn more at PNC.com. PNC Bank, National Association member FDIC.
Putting one behind the keeper takes more than talent. Sure, the pros make it look easy, but there's a whole lot of boring work behind it. Hours of drills, scrimmages, and dedication to the craft that ultimately pay off in a brilliant goal-scoring move. PNC Bank knows that it's the same with money. That's why they take a smart, steady, and, well, boring approach. So, you can make brilliant money moves that help you score your own goals. And PNC Bank makes it easy and convenient to manage your money when and where it works for you, including with new branch locations opening across Miami. See how keeping your money boring can be the brilliant move for you. Visit PNC.com/brilliantlyboring. PNC Bank, proud banking sponsor of Inter Miami CF radio broadcasts and Brilliantly Boring since 1865. The PNC Financial Services Group, Inc., all rights reserved, member FDIC.
Well, Lionel Messi played against Venezuela for his home team. He was in action for Argentina on September 4th. And Dame, I know you being a Deportes man with our good friend Elias Bustamante. You can't tell me you were rooting for Venezuela in this one. Listen, Elias, our good buddy, is Venezuelan, so he was hoping to get a result. But this was Messi's night. And it was so funny. Dame, I watched this. I it was on at night. And majority of these games in world football, they're on the other side of the pond. They're played when we're at work. They're played when I'm doing Russo and Rizzo, when I'm on a football sideline. Not this one. I was able to watch this. They were force-feeding Lionel Messi. I mean, they did their darnest to make sure he scored a goal. Messi ends up scoring two in the game. Venezuela never had a chance. And what I really liked about this game, and first off, folks, the game that they were playing, it was a World Cup qualification for CONMEBOL. Am I pronouncing that right, D?
Yeah,
I always
perfect.
Get that wrong. CONMEBOL, which is kind of, with the USA and Canada, it's CONCACAF. CONMEBOL is the Argentinian teams, the South American teams like Argentina, Venezuela, and company. But Messi had two goals in the game. What I liked about it, it was a giant party, pregame, postgame. Their kids were on the field. Pictures were being taken. And from my understanding, this is the last time that Lionel Messi is going to be playing on his own soil in his backyard.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Messi in Argentina, he's a god figure, you know, and that's putting it lightly. And Argentina, they've been qualified for the World Cup for, I believe, the last three fixtures. So they really needed to find a reason to really celebrate in this match, in a game where they are already qualified. It was their last match in Argentina before the World Cup. So this kind of had that celebratory taste. But it was weird because you mentioned Elias Bustamante, our great friend from Deportes. He's from Venezuela. Venezuela, it's been, I don't even know how long it's been since they qualified to the World Cup, and they were in position to make that what we call the repechaje, which is the playoff to get into the World Cup. And they were right there. They just had to finish off the last two games against Argentina and Colombia. And unfortunately, they dropped both, got eliminated, and Bolivia's going to the repechaje and with an opportunity to make it to the World Cup for the first time in their history.
Let's be honest. Argentina and Colombia are two of the strongest teams. Argentina's the best team, in my opinion.
Yeah, they got a bad draw.
Dude, they got a miserable draw. Those are the last two teams they had to play. The best two teams,
and
arguably.
I believe they had to play Colombia in they played that game in Venezuela. But I don't care.
Dude, yeah. Colombia's a solid squad, mate. They're quality. I mean,
unlucky draw.
When you look at CONMEBOL, I mean, I think of Uruguayo, Damian, your Uruguayans. I think Argentina, and I think Colombia and Brazil are the teams after that.
Those are the top four that you really can't argue against, and then everybody else comes after that.
Let's give Ecuador as well.
That's a great point.
They're number two on that World World Cup qualification.
And they started with minus negative 3 points.
And I believe that's Moises Caicedo, who's the DM for Chelsea. Pure class is
Lata, Valencia.
My cousin calls Caicedo the Rolls Royce in midfield. You know, Chelsea fan, that's a funny lot. But regardless, they got quality. Ecuador's got quality, and we know.
Very young team as well. Hincapié, which Arsenal just signed.
We know year in and year out, they're going to have a good team when it comes to these qualifications. But listen, fair play to Messi. Fair play to Argentina. It was so cool, you know, at the dispense of our good buddy Elias Bustamante. It was so cool for him to have that moment. Now, Damien, Argentina did play another game, but from my understanding, they didn't need the game. They didn't play.
They didn't even need the game against Venezuela.
They're in first place
with 10 points cushion, I believe, or 9 points, something along those lines.
Now, they needed it because it was Messi's final game.
Right.
What, they're going to lose
game?
Like, come on.
That's why it was celebratory. I think it had more to do with that than the actual aspect of the game.
Yeah, the Venezuela, you know, God, you really feel for him.
But yeah, Messi.
you really feel for him.
For that second
collateral
game.
You want to know what we call that quickly? Dame collateral damage.
Yeah,
poor Venezuela,
unfortunately.
But what were you saying?
Argentina played Ecuador in that second game of the FIFA fixture, and Messi didn't even travel. He actually came back to Miami and has since trained with the squad.
Good.
So he's ready to go, ready for that kickoff on Saturday.
Good.
Absolutely, we need it.
Yeah,
we need it.
It's been a tough month? Correct.
So
let me do my Darth Sidious. Good. Good. But regardless, Messi, great time on international break. And Argentina did lead that game that Damien was alluding to. Kind of an ugly game. Two red cards in it. Otamendi for Argentina, and then Moises Caicedo.
I don't know
picking
if you
up
saw
the red in the 50th.
But FIFA said if you get a red card in these last games, you're suspended for the first game of the World Cup. So Otamendi and Argentina will be without their starting center back for that first game in the 2026 World Cup.
Wow, and Caicedo too.
Yep, that's another
dude,
one.
Caicedo's their, you know, in my opinion, Caicedo's your best player. That's tough.
Yeah,
that's tough. So FIFA,
he's definitely the glue.
Yeah, FIFA really coming down hard. On Otamendi and Caicedo. But regardless, let's get into the Herons here. Obviously, it's been international break. Damien alluded it. It has not been really a fun time. And I'll say this. The win against Orlando was nice in the semifinal of Leagues Cup. You played Orlando twice in the regular season. They completely blew the doors off you. You were able to win that game in front of your home fans. Messi had goals in the game. He was celebrating with his kids. It was the ultimate high heading into that League's Cup. But the issue is, man, I mean, Seattle just completely took it to Inter Miami. Now, Dame, I don't know if you were watching. We're going to talk about the game more later on in the show. But Team USA beating Japan, I believe, two nights ago.
Now, that's a team that needed a win.
Oh, God. Like I said, we'll get to that. But Alex Roldan, he played. He started for Team USA. Roldan was the hero for the Sounders in League's Cup. So it seems like Mauricio Pochettino, the new gaffer and head coach, I say new, he's been there for about 18 games now. But obviously the replacement for Greg Berhalter on the United States side, he just, Dame, you've seen him dip into that MLS, you know, pull more often than not, freeze, started in goal. You know, I don't know where Matt Turner was, to be honest. I'm tired of Matt Turner. I don't need to see
Columbus
Matt Turner anymore.
Left back also started. His name is escaping my mind.
But regardless, like, Poch is, he's, do you like that he's pulling from the MLS like that?
I mean, I think it helps the MLS, you know, from the perspective of the MLS, it helps it grow. And, you know, USA is in a position
but
where.
Can I get a game? I'm sorry. I need to play double. Cardozo, like, he plays European football. I know these are friendlies, mate, but this better not, with all due respect,
you know,
to the
you
MLS.
You know what we need? Competition is always great. It's great in every sport. And I feel like the players kind of had it too easy. Their roles were, I mean, who's gonna go against Pulisic's role? His role is pretty locked in. So you,
as
you,
it should be, he's the best player in
absolutely.
Our country.
But you need to have that competition in the squad. You know, players can't just say, "Oh, we're not gonna go to the Gold Cup and there be no repercussions."
Oh, you're right on that.
We have to have players who are hungry to wear the crest and who want to be there. And I think players in the MLS are always looking for that opportunity. So when it comes from that perspective, from a hunger's perspective, I think it'll be great for the team.
Now, you're thinking of Max Arfston.
Yes.
He had an assist in the game. Arfston had an assist
in the game.
He's had a great
season in general.
It was Alex Zendejas, who actually plays for Club America down with the Liga MX, as the Club America Liga MX team. That was a hell of a goal, too. I mean, it was a cross into the box. It was a left foot. Let's actually just do this now. Team USA, 2-0. They beat Japan. Dame, you mentioned that South, you know, the bad loss. They had a bad loss a week before against South Korea. They were never in that game. Heung-Min Son, who actually plays in the MLS now for LAFC, former Tottenham Hotspur legend, he scored in that game, and they did not put their best foot forward, and it was a decent enough lineup. I mean, Tyler Adams played. Pulisic played. You know, there were a ton of players.
I mean, if there was a World Cup game tomorrow, that's probably the starting lineup right there.
Yeah. And it did not play well.
Except for Sargent. Maybe we can find
out. It's a Florian Balogun is who would start. If you remember Balogun, he has English and United States
yes,
ties.
He recently got his citizenship.
And he came to the United States, and I don't blame him. I mean, he's no doubt our best striker. But certainly, Dame, that game against South Korea, people were not happy. I saw a bunch of hashtag Poch out tweets, or rather posts on X. Where are you at with Poch in this team? I know, Dame, I know you like to have his back, but listen, my longtime buddy, shout out my buddy Greg, big listener of the show, big, big football fan. He was, and for him to be Poch out, he was Poch out after that South Korea game. I couldn't necessarily blame him. I'm like you, Dame. I want to give Poch the benefit of the doubt. I like the kind of healthy competition he's brought in. I like how he's not treating these players like divas. But we're almost, mate, it's September, and like we don't have a lot of these games left for Team USA. Where are you at with Mauricio Pochettino as we get closer to the World Cup in summertime here?
It's hard to blame him. And the reason why is what we saw that transpired with the Gold Cup. I mean, how are your best players, the players that are in leadership roles, going to just say, we're not going to this tournament, this Gold Cup that is basically the equivalent of UEFA, of the equivalent of Copa America. So it's a very significant trophy. And for you to just say, listen, I'm not going to go because I want to rest. I think it's more what we've seen, the decline that we've seen is more on the players. That's where the responsibility right. has to be. So, I mean, as much as we want to blame Pochettino, I think we have to give him a pass on this one.
Now, I will give credit a little bit to Weston McKennie and Tim Weah. They were playing at the FIFA Club World Cup. I don't want to say that's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but certainly a bigger competition maybe that they would want to play in. But, Damien, I lean your way. Like, you don't see the Argentinians doing this. And obviously, Mauricio Pochettino, Argentinian,
yeah.
being Argentinian, you know, and regardless, anywhere in South America, it's not just Argentina. Dame, you're Uruguayo, you know what
you
I mean?
You have to have like, pride for your country,
yes,
that's where it starts.
Yes, and as a club soccer fan, it drives me crazy. Like, Lisandro Martinez, Argentinian.
Yep.
He won't play games for United because he's injured, and then the national team will come around, and all of a sudden, I got my buddies texting me saying Martinez is playing in the game. I'm like, what's going on here? It does my head in as a club fan, but at the same time, I understand it. These guys want to play in front of their host. They worked their ass off all their life to compete for their national team.
And that's what we
want to
see.
About.
That's what we want to see from these players in the United States. That's what we want to see from Pulisic, from McKinney. They are in the position where they are the leaders of the team. If they set the example, people will follow. So that's what we want
now,
to see.
Now, I love Chris Richards. Chris Richards, a household name at Crystal Palace. Palace, a team in the English Premier League who's come a long way. They won the FA Cup last year. They won the Super Cup. They won this. What do we play when it's Europa League versus Champions League?
Yeah,
they won the
Cup.
Super Cup. So they have two pieces of silverware within the last year, within the last 4 months, really. And Chris Richards, a household name at center back for them. Great player. He played. Now, Tyler Adams was playing when he could. Like, there are good players that didn't decide to say, hey, screw this tournament. We're not doing this. Dame, let's call a spade a spade. You're talking to Pulisic when you say you got to play.
And
I agree. There was no reason for Christian Pulisic not to play in that.
I mean, they gave him the label of Captain America. How are you going to be labeled Captain America and say, listen, I don't want to play the Gold Cup because I'm tired?
I guess I'll give a break to Weah and McKinney. Would I like them to have played in this? Absolutely. But the Club World Cup, fine. They want to play at the Club FIFA World Cup, whatever. You know, I'm upset about it, but I understand. Pulisic, no excuses.
Expectations are
different. This isn't the NBA, mate.
Yep.
You play games, damn it. You play your games and you play for the badge. But I liked what I saw against Japan. Now, Japan did. If we're going to call a spade again, Japan did not put out a competitive lineup. They didn't play a lot of their players. You know, Mitoma didn't play. A lot of their great players that they had did not play in this game. But who am I to sit here and complain? That team needed a win, and they got a win in Columbus, Ohio, 2-0 over the Japanese. 888-760-3776, that number to call on. And you are listening to Pink Smoke. If you want to talk a little world football, 888-760-3776. Inter Miami obviously has not played since that League's Cup 2 weeks ago almost. And we're reacting to the big international break that just happened. We'll get to the UEFA games in a little bit. The European side, as an Italian soccer fan, I was very worried that they were going to, you know, blow it. They had crazy games on the UEFA side and specifically with the Italians. But we're reacting to Team USA losing to South Korea 2-0. And then on the flip side, beating Japan, who didn't necessarily put out their best lineup, but still had some quality. They beat Japan 2-0 on home soil in Columbus. Now, Dame, when it comes to international break, when it comes to guys playing for the host country, is there no greater honor for a football player? Is there no greater honor to put on the badge for your jersey and then get that call up? Because, like, I look at a guy, and like I said, we'll talk about exactly what happened in UEFA in a second, but just for a little context on what I'm trying to talk about here, like Marcus Rashford, who plays for England and got left off the squad last year because he was, you know, a nightmare at Manchester United, but now is having some quality at Barcelona, gets the call, starts a game, bags a goal on a penalty kick. Like, that's what you want. You want to be in good enough form to be considered for the national team. I know Team USA has the issues, but I think it is just the ultimate sign of respect to put on that jersey and to do good for that jersey.
Absolutely. Anytime you can defend your country, wherever it is, on the field, anywhere, wherever you can defend your country and wear that with pride, you have to take pride in doing that. You know, that has to be something that you feel, not from a perspective of, oh, am I going to make money from this? Am I going to get good spot? No, this is pride. I want to win this for my people. I want to win this for my country. And that's what it's about.
Yeah, and the amount of travel that, like, goes into being a world football player too. Like, especially, like, when you start getting in on the international side and going on international duty, when Champions League starts, when Europa League starts, like, you make the exception for the national team. No ifs, ands, or buts. And I think all of world football players understand that, you know, except if you're Christian Pulisic. I guess we're picking on Christian Pulisic this segment. And listen, I call him Pulley Goat, Captain America. I call him Pulley Goat. You know, let's not forget Pulisic's goal against Iran. He played great last World Cup as well. I could argue it was the only reason we were able to go to the knockout round. Obviously, we got bamboozled by the Dutch. I mean, I'm still having nightmares about Memphis Depay, who's like the fourth best player on that team, completely owning Team USA. But Christian did play well. I know when lights are bright, he's going to be able to play well. And I liked what I saw against Japan too from Pulisic. He was cutting inside. He was creating opportunities. But man, I hope Team USA is going to take pride in playing for that batch coming up at the World Cup. Once again, 888-760-3776 is that number to call on in if you want to talk a little world football on Pink Smoke with us. We're going to take our first time out of the program, but when we return, we'll talk about the UEFA side of the international duty. We got World Cup qualification games to still talk about. We'll go to the injury report for our Inter-Miami Herons, who are back in action Saturday on the road at Charlotte FC. Plenty to do, plenty to talk about on Pink Smoke, ESPN 106.3.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome on back, folks, to Pink Smoke, where we talk everything Inter-Miami, everything world football. 888-760-3776 is that number to call on in. We talked about Lionel Messi scoring two goals in his final game in Argentina. Argentina won the fixture 3-0, and they are locked in to the World Cup coming up this summer in 2026. We talked a little bit about Team USA winning 2-0 against Japan, losing 2-0 against South Korea. The only fixtures we got to talk about in world football that are left are those European qualifiers. So, Damian, a couple interesting notes quickly on what happened there. So, if we go by group, there are a couple of surprising things by group on the UEFA side. So, how UEFA does it, they have Group A, Group B, C, all the way down to, I believe, L. Yeah, so they have A to L as groups. And two teams advance, A to L, and then two teams advance. So these games, I mean, a lot of the times, Damian, good teams, household names, Italy, for the last two World Cups have not made it. And we'll get to Italy in a second once we get to their group. But, like, that's why UEFA is so crazy. There's so many good teams on the European side. There's so much quality that sometimes good teams miss out on the World Cup, like right now. And we still have a lot more games to play on the UEFA side, Dame. But Slovakia and Northern Ireland currently hold the two spots in Group A. Germany is on the outside looking in. So only two games played there. Still a lot of ground to cover. But Germany on the outside looking in. Group B, Switzerland and Kosovo. Dame, I pride myself in knowing countries. I don't know where Kosovo is. I don't know Kosovo.
That's a tough one.
Where is
That's a tough one. I have no
idea. It's two guys who don't know where Kosovo is. Regardless, they got a huge win against Sweden, 2-0. Sweden on the outside looking in. So is Slovenia, Dame. Denmark and Group C and Scotland are the two teams that are advancing there so far after two games. Greece and Belarus are the teams on the outside looking in. On to D, France and Iceland. You expect Ukraine to be able to crawl back above Iceland, but in years past, we've seen Iceland make the World Cup, and obviously with their iconic "ho, ho" chant that they have. Remember
now
that craziness?
That's a team that takes a lot of pride in these games. That's kind of what fuels them.
Dude, do you remember that chant?
Very small country.
Group E, Spain and Georgia. Kvaratskhelia, he is one of the better players on PSG. He's Georgian, and he plays for Georgia. Georgia, the team that is in Turkey on the outside looking in as of now. Obviously, Turkey, Arda Güler, wonder kid who plays for Real Madrid.
They got destroyed by Spain.
They did, and they have a lot of quality, which surprises me that they played so bad. But look out for Turkey maybe to overtake Georgia. Portugal, I think, is the Dame. Ask me who my favorite to win the World Cup in the United States is.
Who's that? Who's your favorite?
Portugal. Dude,
why is that?
They look unbelievable. They're one of the deeper squads in world football. Cristiano Ronaldo is a man on a mission to get his World Cup. Listen, I know we're Pink Smoke, and I know we love Lionel Messi, but you guys know I love me some Ronaldo and Manchester United. I think it'd be a great storyline here in the States for Portugal to possibly win a World Cup. They look great, dude. I think the world rankings came out. They're number one, and as they should be. I mean, what's the trophy that they won in the summer, Dame, Remember Ronaldo had the kick-in goal?
Was it UEFA Nations?
Regardless, they have the most recent silverware.
UEFA Nations.
The most recent silverware available. Portugal sitting at one. Armenia at two. Hungary and Ireland are the other teams on the outside looking. I'm expecting Hungary to figure things out there, but we'll see.
With Szoboszlai.
Yeah, dude. How about that wonder goal he scored for Liverpool
two weeks ago? Three of those, too.
Dude, the free kick was Ronaldo-esque.
Beautiful.
Talk about Cristiano.
Absolutely.
That kick was Cristiano-esque. Netherlands and Poland in Group G. Finland, Lithuania, and Malta are the other teams there. I do expect Poland. Robert Lewandowski, obviously being Polish. Now, he's older. They have other quality players. When you think of Poland, you think of Lewandowski. And then the Dutch, I mean, they're loaded, Dame. The Dutch probably, what, top five team in the world? I mean, with Virgil van Dijk, all their strikers up top, great midfield.
Xavi Simons.
Unbelievable.
Dumfries. Yeah, that's a squad that has had expectations in the past. They haven't really met those expectations, but nonetheless, they are loaded.
Similar to Portugal.
Yep.
They've gone on runs. They've gone deep, but just have not been able to
Belgium
win.
Belgium is another team that's in that category.
I mean, remember Robin? I mean, go way back to Robin and some of those goats that played for the Dutch. Bosnia and Austria in Group H, Romania, Cyprus, and San Marino are the other teams there. Group I, Norway and Italy. Finally, to the Italians. My God, Dame. I'm sweating out. What is going on? I'm sweating out games to Israel and Estonia. What's going on here? Do no Italian kids want to play soccer? No Italian kids want to play football anymore? What's going on with Italy? Why are these games against godforsaken, and listen, it's fair play to Israel and fair play to Estonia, but they're not on the level as Italy. What are we doing here? Do we just not, like, I look at the lineup, and outside of, like, Barea and Gigi Donnarumma, like, where is the quality? Where are the attackers? Retegui? Like, I can't even pronounce his name. I'm a disgrace, but... He plays there. We're starting a guy up top that plays in Saudi. What the hell is going on?
He had a good, I believe it was last year.
Retegui? Like,
he had a good season with Atalanta, scoring 28 goals and 9 assists. But to your point, I mean.
Where is the Pirlo regen? What's going on, Dame?
It is a team who you're used to seeing all these names, these players who kind of age like wine. And since it's been a few years since Italy has had that. But I feel like Italy, their identity is kind of playing to other teams' level, and they just can't seem to get away from that.
Like, where's the Rossi? Where's the Viali? Where's the Signori? Where are the strikers? Do Italian kids not like scoring goals? My God, I'm sweating. Dave, 5-4 against Israel. We're going to the final minute in that game, too.
The 91st, to your point.
And I couldn't watch it. Like, these games, like I said, these damn European games, I never am able to watch unless it's, like, a Saturday or a Sunday. Granted, I work Saturdays. So, like, half the time, we can't even watch Saturdays. So, like, the only time I really get to watch English or, like, European football in general is Sunday. Oh, I was sweating that out, but it looks like...
How about
like,
Norway, though?
They're unreal.
First place in the group, 15 points. Dude, Holland, I believe, scored, like, what, like, 5 goals
the other day? They beat Moldova 11-1. 11-1? Moldova, by the way, 0-5. I really, like, some groups, Damien, have played 2 games. Other groups have played 5. I mean, that's why this was a huge window, international window, for the Italians, because like you had to beat the bums like Israel and Estonia, because it's Norway with Odegaard and Erling Haaland. So they're just gonna win the World Cup 11-1 every game? Come on, what's going on here? Moving on to Group J, Dame, are you buying North Macedonia with 11 points? They might shock the world and get in over Wales.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable. The Welsh household name,
and they tied Belgium too. So they have some good games under their belt. But am I buying it? No.
North Macedonia, is Alexander the Great playing striker, mate? I mean, my goodness, 11 points on that table. Certainly playing like their hair is on fire. But quickly on the Welsh, I mean, you remember Gareth Bale for the longest time, one of the better left-wing, right-wing players. He can play everything. He can play striker. God, the kid can play left.
He's a machine.
Guy can play left back, too. He's not a sure he could play goalie. Regardless, Gareth Bale, one of the better players we've seen in world football before his retirement. I think he played in the MLS a bit. Do I have that wrong? Yeah, he played in the MLS a bit. But obviously, when you think of Wales, LAFC. you think of Gareth Bale. Group K, England in complete control. They've won all five games. The Three Lions have looked strong. Now, don't ask an English fan that or an Englishman that, because they want Thomas Tuchel fired yesterday. But that just seems to be the state of that club. And then finally, Group L, Croatia and Czechoslovakia, the top two teams. And folks, Faroe Islands, Montenegro, and Gibraltar, with all due respect, don't stand a chance. So that is the UEFA side of world international football. Listen, Dame, I'm a proud CONCACAF man, being Team USA, but when it comes to my Italian squad, I love them to death too. So I'm a UEFA man, and I'm a CONCACAF man, and thank goodness it's looking like, you know, by the grace of God, that the Italians are not going to miss the World Cup for the third straight time. England's looked really strong. Spain, obviously, one of the better teams as well. And I think Germany will figure things out sooner than later.
Look out, because I know you mentioned that the top two teams are the teams that survive the groups. But first place is directly in the qualified directly. Second place only moves on to the next stage.
But it gives you, like, you think these bigger teams, Dame, you know, like Italy and whatever, that they're going to be able to figure it out in the second stage.
But that second stage is going to be a lot tougher than this first stage, because we're knocking out all those teams like North Macedonia and the teams like France, Italy, who's another, Belgium. Those are the teams that are moving on to that second stage. So it is going to be a different level, I would say, of teams that we're going to be encountering.
So you're saying Norway, you know, we should have taken care of business against Norway?
I think it was very important to win the groups if you're a team like Italy. I mean, nonetheless.
So we're not out of the weeds yet. As the great Han Solo once said. Oh, boy. Let's do a little, Ed, let's look at our injury report for Inter Miami here. It's, as I mentioned, folks, there's not much there with Inter Miami. We have a game coming up on Saturday. We will preview that coming up at the end of the show when we go around the MLS. But Damian did mention there are a couple of things on that injury report that stuck out to him. A couple of players got hurt on that international duty. Let's do our Inter Miami injury report presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
Now it's time for the Inter Miami Injury Report, presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
And now a fight for it, one right back by Inter Miami.
Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com.
Foryourrights.com, folks. Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath for 35 years have been taking care of injured people and their families. Think of our great friends at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. You know, God forbid, knocking on wood, nothing happens. But if something happens, please think of our great partners. Charlotte FC and Inter Miami coming up 7:30 on Saturday. I actually have some exciting news for myself. One of my favorite people, Ken Lavica, voice of the Inter Miami Herons. He is unable to call the game coming up on Saturday. So, Dame, I'm going to be on the call.
Uh-oh.
How about that? So
that's amazing.
I'm going to be in Charlotte. We're going to have the game coming up here on ESPN 106.3 coming up at 7:30. So be on the lookout for that. We're assuming Lionel Messi is going to play. We're assuming that, you know, without obviously Luis Suarez, necessarily.
He has to play this game.
But it said he's suspended.
Suarez
is suspended. Yeah, Messi. But Suarez obviously got that 3-game suspension in the MLS as well, added on to the 6 games in League's Cup. 9 total? God, they threw the book at Suarez for spitting on that staffer. I'm not saying I disagree, but 3 MLS games, too.
I think we, in a sense, we kind of lucked out. I mean, if it was reversed, 3 games in League's Cup, 6 in the MLS, now that would be an issue.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. 3 games in the MLS is not favorable, but it could have been a lot worse.
Now, we don't have an official injury report yet. That'll come closer to kickoff as we inch closer to Saturday. But Alan Abando has been dealing with a hamstring injury. He is expected back late September. And then, obviously, Luis Suarez going to be unavailable for the fixture coming up with his suspension for spitting on a Seattle Sounders staffer. As far as Charlotte, Harry Toffolo, Pep Beal, and Suleiman Doumbia. Pep Beal, the starter in the mix there that is injured. He's expected to be at mid-September, Dame. You could see Pep Beal possibly maybe on the field for Charlotte, or at least on the bench as a reserve. He's been injured for a little bit. If you remember Pep Beal, we saw him earlier in the season with Charlotte when Inter-Miami was able to win at home when they got down to 10 men. Remember, that was the
game. Yeah.
Oscar Ustari got the red card and Rios Novo had to come in. Certainly a fun game that we saw Inter-Miami be victorious in. But Dame, you read a couple of players that were on international duty also got injured for Inter-Miami.
Yeah, this is courtesy of Jose Armando on Twitter, but Fafa Pico apparently injured with Haiti, as well as David Ruiz, who has been honestly injured about, what, like 60% of the season?
Yeah, David Ruiz has certainly been on the injury report more often than not. He got hurt with Honduras?
Yep, with Honduras. And this is not an injury, but Kramaski officially away from the team. He has left on loan.
Parma,
yep. So that's another player who, when we've had these situations where there's been injuries, suspensions, Kramaski has been that player who Mascherano has kind of had the luxury of playing in different positions, and he played pretty well in all of them. So it's going to be a tough loss with all these losses that we have due to injury, suspension, and it's worth saying, too, on Saturday, they start a streak of 6 matches in 17 days.
Well, they got to catch up on games played. They're 4 games back still. 5, I think. Let's actually, instead of speculating, Mike Rizzo, let's go to the table and find this. So they're 4 games. Okay, so 4 games behind the Union, Cincinnati, Charlotte, Nashville. 3 games behind Orlando City. Obviously, Orlando City, Dame, dropped a game because of their run in League's Cup. But yeah, it's about time Inter-Miami catches up on these games. Dame, we've been 4 games behind everybody since like May, since the start of the FIFA Club World Cup all the way back when.
Yeah, but the good thing is, though, that Inter-Miami has, even with those games that they don't have in hand, they still find themselves 6th on the table of the Eastern Conference. And if they do win the games that they need to play, they can find themselves far as 2nd. So my math was failing me.
No, you're good. Dame, I'd blame it on the public schools. I'm a public. Actually, no, you're a Benjamin kid. You got no excuse.
For half.
Yeah, well, okay.
Junior,
still,
senior year.
Yeah, I still take your two years over there at the great Benjamin School in West Palm Beach. To Damian's credit, Inter-Miami has 46 points on the table. They're 4 games back of the Union. 4 times 3 is 12. So, Dame, they would actually, now granted, that's if they win every game. Like, and one thing we learned with Inter-Miami and some of these MLS games, I mean, Dame, you know, I don't think they're going to win all 4. I hope they do as a Heron fan. But 4 times 3 is 12. 46 plus 12 is 58. They could still be number 1. Now, that's pending they win every game.
Correct.
And they still get the results from the other games that are still left on the schedule. So if I go to the Union right now, if I go to their fixtures, the Union have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have 5 games left on the schedule. Inter-Miami has 9. Put that in perspective, too. So heading in to the MLS playoffs, Inter-Miami would play 4 more games than the teams ahead of them. Dame, do you think there's anything there?
I mean, there has to be.
I mean, my goodness.
There has to be.
And with that injury report that we just read with Abando, well, Suarez, you know, he's not injured, just suspended, but still, no Suarez, no Davi Ruiz, Benjamin Kramaski out on loan, Fafa Pico injured, and Alan Abando, you're 2 strike. You don't have a striker
on the roster. There's
right
no
now.
Direct replacement to Luis Suarez, and the players that you kind of would put in that position, like a Fafa Pico, he's out and injured now, so... To your point, I mean, it's I don't want to panic yet because at the end of the day, Messi is 100%. He's physically there. He's going to play, and whenever Messi's on the field, I feel like we have a chance. But it is worth noting that the roster is getting pretty slim.
A lot of Allende and a lot of Messi.
And Baltasar Rodriguez, that's my key player. I think that's the player that
and
has
he,
to step up.
Talk about staying healthy.
Yep.
He's been injured majority of the year. It's great that he's healthy now. Dame, I assume he's going to play off of the wing.
He has to. I mean, we don't have the luxury of picking at this point.
So, in your eyes, at least for me, from what I've seen from Mascherano, it's either Allende or Messi up top, and whoever's not up top, they're coming off the right side, and you put Rodriguez, who's right-footed, off of the left.
Yeah, and Telasco Segovia is also a player that can play that position, but
right?
to your point, you probably put
him at the cam.
He's always been more effective in the middle, for sure.
Now, we've seen Mascherano go with a 4-4-2. I don't think that's going to be the case. You don't have 2 strikers. So you'll probably just put Messi or Allende up top, and you'll do a Dame, that 4-2-3-1, do you like that? Do you like the four in the back, kind of the two DMers, as I call them, with Sergio Busquets and or Yannick Bright, and then the right wing, central attacking midfielder, left wing, and striker? I'd probably see him going back to that 4-2-3-1.
And you know, I just thought of this. We're very fortunate that Sergio Busquets did not get suspended because
very much so.
He was also a player that was being investigated for everything that occurred against Seattle. He did get suspended for the League's Cup, but we lucked out in the MLS.
But Falcone, he had a guy in a stranglehold. Is he good? That's a serious question,
mate.
I didn't see anything. Yeah. When I looked at the injury, dude, you're laughing. Was that not scenes? I mean,
it was unbelievable.
We have our group text with you, me, and Elias Bustamante, another figure from the Deporte side, 760 AM. Actually, content director too. Recently promoted Elias Bustamante. Shout out Elias. But we have our group text, and we just text scenes, absolute scenes. After that game,
it's unbelievable because that's not something you see in the MLS in United States. Period. That's something you see in South America. You know,
dude,
CONCACAF. Growing up watching the Libertadores, we've seen that a lot in South America, but never, never, ever in the USA.
Dame, so
it was just unbelievable.
I shouldn't be laughing at this. The funniest part was Falcone had the guy's face in the stranglehold was like, soccer players are dramatic. We're not, I think we can admit that. But the guy's face, he was getting choked out. I know I shouldn't be laughing at something like that, but he was trying to sell it even more, which made it even more funny.
But that also creates narrative because now we're all talking about, we all have that game circled against Seattle. That rematch has just become.
Two games from now.
Which Suarez will be suspended for. Smart on MLS for that.
Is that Wednesday?
I believe,
yeah, because it's set. We have Saturday.
No, it's on Tuesday. It's on
Tuesday.
A Tuesday.
Yep. God. Talk about catching up on games. Mm-hmm. I mean, geez, oh man, we're playing on Tuesday? Folks, Pink Smoke, Mike Rizzo, that's Damian Perez. We are live in the City Police Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Pink Smoke, where we talk everything Inter Miami, everything world football. Didn't get to Premier League today, but Premier League back in action as well. Damian, a big Liverpool fan, recently signing Alexander Isak and everybody
man,
under the sun.
I can't wait for the Prem to come back.
Where's financial fair play? You guys, I mean, granted, Liverpool hasn't
They
bought.
Sold off. They sold off.
Yeah, they sold the last three windows, so they got money. But me, obviously, the miserable United fan, we got Prem back in action Saturday. Is there a Friday game? Regardless, Saturday, Sunday, Monday for the Premier League as well. But when we come back, we'll go around the MLS presented by our great friends at Audi. You are listening to Pink Smoke on ESPN 106.3.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Final segment of Pink Smoke, 888-760-3776. That number, if you want to talk a little Inter Miami, a little world football. We went through all the international action. I'll tell you what, you try to find better content of someone giving you the international qualification for the World Cup. I think I gave the best South Florida content on that you could find around.
It's super hard to break down, too.
I'm telling you, all right? We went through
it's
UEFA.
It's so layered.
We went through CONMEBOL, UEFA, CONCACAF, all the teams really are qualified. I mean, the teams that matter. Let's be honest with ourselves. United States, Mexico, and Canada automatically qualify for being host nations. But regardless, that European side really starting to heat up. But Dame, it is time now for us to go around the MLS presented by our good friends at Audi.
Now it's time to go around the MLS, presented by your local South Florida Audi dealerships. Test drive the new Q6 e-tron today at your local South Florida Audi dealer or visit AudiOffers.com to learn more.
Folks, AudiUSA.com to learn more. That is AudiUSA.com to learn more. Test drive the brand new Q6 e-tron today at your local South Florida Audi dealer. Once again, AudiUSA.com to learn more. That is Audi. USA.com to learn more. I mentioned, and so did Dame, Inter Miami's got to catch up on four games. They have 46 points on the Eastern Conference table. Four times three is 12. 12 and 46 is 58. They would technically be... Yeah, thank you. They would technically... Public school kid. They would technically be... Not a Benjamin kid like you. They would technically be in first place over Philadelphia. If they were able to win all the games. But Damian, with the suspensions, with the injuries, I don't think that's realistic. I think in a realistic bubble, Inter Miami wants top four. Top four gives you a home game in the first round. And Inter Miami won the Supporters' Shield last year with the most points on the Eastern Conference table, 73, broke the MLS record. They had off in the first round, and then D.C., Atlanta United happened. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, yep. Godforsaken place. I don't think the first round bye and be in first place. And I think it's getting in and letting the messy magic happen.
And being healthy.
Correct. I dare I say, Damian, it's a terrible time for the end of the season for Inter Miami. I'm a bit worried. You mentioned you have your gripes. I kind of do too. With Suarez being out three games, let's call it what it is as well. Sergio Busquets is old. I love Lionel Messi. He's also old. Is he the best player in the MLS and on this side of the continent? Maybe arguably in the world still? Absolutely. But my God, these guys are going to be playing, you know, this is like Messi Barcelona playing 2-3 games a week. Gosh, you love playing in all these competitions. God forbid you won one, by the way. No, I don't think anyone expected Inter Miami to win the FIFA Club World Cup. I think that was a success getting out of the group stage. Regardless, you know, Leagues Cup and the Champions Cup hurt. Would you agree on that?
Yeah.
I think Champions Cup meant more, with all due respect to the Leagues Cup, but I think the Champions Cup crash out to Vancouver, I think that hurt the most, especially how bad Cruz Azul was able to beat Vancouver in said championship as well. But Inter Miami, a lot of ground to make up with those four games. They are currently in sixth place. Let's go through the nine teams that are in the dance right now, in the playoff dance on the Eastern Conference side. Philadelphia Union, FC Cincinnati, Charlotte FC. We are playing Charlotte this Saturday, 7:30. I will be live with the game coming up right at 7:30, by the way. I'm to the powers to be, I am almost certain things could change. I'm almost certain that it's going to be a 7:30 broadcast start on the English side coming up on Saturday. I will be on the call, so be on the lookout for that. But you know the Deporte side, folks. We want our Spanish speakers on the Deporte side, English speakers on the English side. Deporte's at 6:30. You got Damian, you got Leo, you got Fernando, Elias Bustamante at times as well. They have all your coverage on the Spanish side. They do a fantastic job, my boys over there at 760 AM Deportes.
Absolutely.
Nashville sitting in fourth place, Dame. Orlando City in fifth. Inter Miami, I mentioned sixth. How about Columbus? Not the year they expected. They're in seventh place right now with 46 points. Same amount of points as Inter Miami. And Inter Miami is three games behind them. NYCFC at 44. Chicago Fire at 42. Those are nine teams in from the Eastern Conference. Something to look out for. The New York Red Bulls are flirting with being in. They have 40 points compared to Chicago's 42. So maybe the Red Bulls able to have some late season action. On the Western Conference side, things are heating up as well. If we flip things on over to the West, San Diego, believe it or not, how about San Diego? First place, 56 points on the Western Conference table. Minnesota with 51. Vancouver at 49. The Seattle Sounders at 44, LAFC, another team similar to the Columbus Crew. Not the season I was expecting from LAFC. I thought they'd be better. They have 41 points. Austin FC sitting with 41. Portland at 39 and 7th. The Rapids 36th and 8th. And then in 9th place, San Jose with 36. But listen to this, all right? The Houston Dynamo are 2 points behind San Jose. They're in 10th. Jack McGlynn, one of the younger United States players I like a lot, he plays for the Dynamo. And shout out my great friend Glenn Davis, friend of show, by the way, Glenn Davis, the play-by-play man there in Houston. So that's kind of the Western Conference side. Maybe give a shout to Real Salt Lake and FC Dallas sitting at 31. They are 5 points, they're 4 points behind San Jose. To Damian's credit, they are in the hunt as well. So that is around the MLS for their good friends at Audi. Test drive the Q6 e-tron today. AudiUSA.com to learn more. AudiUSA.com to learn more. Dame, quickly, ask me who my favorite to come out of the Western Conference is.
Oh boy. Who's your favorite to come out of the Western Conference?
Seattle. Wow. Has to be. The way they won Leagues Cup, Dame, they're a deep team. Jesus Ferrara.
They got some great momentum right now.
They do, and they have quality players. For the MLS, very quality players. Folks, you hear that music, that means it's time for us to go. Sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of them stays with you forever. Remember that in this life. Dame, appreciate you, partner. Always a pleasure.
Pleasure as always.
Always a pleasure to talk some Inter Miami football and world football with the great Damian Perez. Once again, 7:30 kickoff on the English side. Charlotte and Inter Miami. Inter Miami traveling to Charlotte. I will be live in Charlotte. But Damian Perez will be keeping things down here at the City Place Studios at the Deporte Station starting at 6:30. 6:30 Spanish start, 7:30 English start. This has been Pink Smoke. We'll catch up with you guys tomorrow with our local programming. We'll see you later. Bye.